2 o'clock, and I want to call to order the Health, Education, and Welfare Committee. Pat, I want to ask Representative Scott if he'll give the invocation, please.
Father God, Lord, we just thank you for your love, your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we thank you for this blessed day. Lord, we ask that special blessing on this nation and their leaders, Lord. Just be with us and guide us as we make the best decisions possible for our citizens. All these things we leave in your hands. Amen.
Amen.
Roll call, please.
Johnny Green.
Present.
Joyce Deere.
Present.
Dodie Barnett.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Rufus Scott.
Here.
Madam Chair, you got 5 present and 0 absent.
5 present, 0 absent constitutes quorum. All business conducted will be official. Order of business is the Keeper Fire Department. But I do believe that they are fighting a fire today, so I don't think they're building.
Oh, minutes after that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Approval of the minutes for February the 8th.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes with any corrections.
Motion by Mr. Jennings to approve the minutes for February the 8th with any corrections. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Deere. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. The minutes were approved. Now to the order of business. We were to have the fire department from Keeper, and they are not present, so someone want to make a motion to postpone them.
You want to postpone it until next month?
Yes.
Second.
Did you make the motion? Motion by Ms. Barnett to postpone until next month. Second by Mr. Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That is postponed until next month.
To the top of the agenda, please.
All approve of moving NCA 16-032, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We will address NCA 16-032. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to sponsor the United National Indian Tribal Youth Unity 2016 National Unity Conference. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to do pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Deere. Discussion?
So our youth council is actually one of the councils under the Unity organization. This year is their 40th anniversary. Unity began in Oklahoma and will actually be back in the Oklahoma City area for the conference this summer. And they have asked the different organizations and tribes to help sponsor that. And gotten this information. I'm a part of the local planning committee for the conference this summer. And we forwarded this on to Chief Floyd's office. And this was the package that they recommended for sponsorship, the anniversary package. And I believe you should have the back of that information, the details on what that will provide to us. One of the big things will be having the 5 conference passes so that we can utilize those either for adult sponsors who are attending or for dignitaries that might be coming in to the conference. We'd love to have as many representatives there this year because it looks like it is the 40th anniversary. It's a great organization that our young people have already begun to be really excited about. And so I definitely recommend us being able to sponsor in whatever capacity that we can.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair,
yes, Mr. Jennings.
I make a motion to amend the amount to $5,000.
Motion by Mr. Jennings to amend the amount to $5,000. Is there a second? Is there a second? Is there a second? That motion fails for lack of a second. Thank you. Any more questions? I think this is the first time that Creek Nation has really been in the Unity. So that's good.
It's been really good for our people.
No more questions. Roll call vote, please.
Betty Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Steer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
No.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Oh, yes, to be sent to BF&J for funding source.
Thank you.
Next is TR-16-026, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the execution of a memorandum of agreement regarding an enhanced tribal card program. Sponsored, Ms. Barnett.
Madam Chair, make a motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Scott. Discussion?
Mr.
Wilson. Yes, look, this is an agreement with us and Homeland Security and Border Protection. It's a new card that we're going to try to issue to the tribal citizens via PAX as a passport. So we have to get that agreement in place before we can proceed. We're actually filling out for a grant to fund this whole program. It's going to be anywhere from $600,000 to $1 million grant.
I think there will be more departments that can utilize this, right?
Yes, ma'am. We're trying to get it where we're going to. We do have a program in place right now where other tribes or other departments can utilize the card we have currently now. Hopefully, with this new card, we're going to try to put it in place where they actually can verify citizenship by either scanning that card because it has a RFID reader in it, so it actually will pick that up and be able to verify enrollment back to our office.
Do you want to talk about as well the coming restrictions for travel and how this will play into that?
Right now, the Oklahoma is kind of in limbo with the Real ID Act. With this, we'll be one step ahead of the state of Oklahoma. Our card right now is able to use, but with them being in limbo, it could affect that card later on in the future. If we do move to this, then we'll be one step in front of Oklahoma with this new card.
I'll be added as a co-sponsor. Are there any questions? Mr. Hollis?
Yes, I have one. Mr. Wilson, if this comes about, does the present card that we have, can we use that as verification for this new card?
It's actually going to be, this is going to be a secondary card. That card will still have, the original card will still have that card.
Yeah.
This card, there's a process that you have to go through to it. You would have to apply for it. Of course, it acts as a passport. So we'll be doing interviews with the individuals that want to move on with this card. Not everybody will get this card in front.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any more questions?
You mentioned that the card is acting as a passport, but there are other restrictions, not like a full passport, right?
It's a passport card. It's not the actual, this is the Western Hemisphere where you're able to travel by land and sea. And there's not a card out there that replaces that. So that the main passport will still be there. This just is the passport card. So Canada, New Mexico, stuff like that, you're going to have to use that card. And plus travel with the airlines also.
Speaking with the lady that's going to be doing the grant for us, speaking with her, I had asked a question, you know, because right now there is no tribe that has a passport of their own. And so one of the big questions that I asked her, I said, would this be like the next step to actually hopefully one day get her passport that's international? And she said it would be. And so I thought, you know, well, that's a good thing. We get something to this
should that, you know, open up for us, well, then we could go ahead and apply to have our card, Creek Nations card, you know, your tribal membership card. It could actually be just a regular passport that would take you throughout the world. Right now, it'd be just the Western Hemisphere, but we always got to look to the future, so.
We will be the first tribe in Oklahoma if they get this card to have the new tribal anti-paying card.
Ms. Wilson,
yes.
At some point in time, are you going to make that mandatory for every tribal citizen?
We want to, but I would think that we've been looking at trying to make that happen. Just for instance, our card that we have currently that we just started in 2013, we don't even have half the citizens that even switch over to that new card yet. We're hoping that maybe we can meet with you guys along with the chief to try to make that happened, where that it's in order for them to get services, they need to provide these cards. This is just going to benefit the tribe. I think it'll save us money in the long run because we provide services to these citizens, and we remove people on a monthly basis. And some of these people might be still getting caught, getting programmed, and getting money, that and they're removed. We have an instance where somebody was voting, and we removed them in 2006, and they voted in the last election. So this card that we're trying to get is going to help not just our office, but other departments as well.
Right. Which, I mean, I understand all that, which is good. But you said it had the chip, and you said it would, once activated, it would come back and it would inform you guys whether these people are actually registered or whatever.
But what it is, and I'll let our IT guy explain to you kind of how it is, because it's that's going to hit actually border protection, that side of it. But we've been talking with the tribe that actually does this. Is we can tie it into our system within our truck, within the tribe here, that will allow us, because what it does is it feeds it a number. We assign that chip a number. So, for instance, they go to healthcare or go to the clinic and get services, it should be able to ping our database. But he can, if you want to go into more detail, he can go in detail with you guys on how that actually will work.
I mean, it all sounds good. I guess in the long run, my thing would be to make it actually mandatory.
We would love to, but even the card that we have currently now, it's getting people to get that card. But I think it's going to take a combination of all of us to work together to get that to happen. All
right, thanks, sir.
Mr. Wilson, you said not everybody will get one. What would stop them from not getting one?
The thing is that they would have to sign a release that they're going to that they're going to share their information with the Homeland Security and Border Protection. You're going to have some citizens that might not want that to happen.
Thank you.
And also, it has to be in person. We're not able to issue those cards outside unless they come in and do an interview with us. We have our office in Jinx will be the main place for this because of the security issue. This has to be a secure location.
Thank you.
We can do remotes. When we go out to the remotes, we can do the front side of that card, and then once it gets back to the office, we can finish it up and do the rest of it. But we can do some outside, but they're going to have to eventually.
Okay.
Any more questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would like to make a motion to move NCA 16-040 to next on the agenda. It's the companion bill with the legislation that we just passed.
Ms. Barnett would like to move NCA 16-040 next in order. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. NCA 16-040, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation to the Citizenship Board Office's fiscal year 2016 budget. Wish of this committee.
Madam Chair, make a motion do pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for do pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Deere. Discussion.
What this is going along right along with the new ID card. We actually are asking for 2 new employees. One, we're asking for some IT help from IT guy. This is going to take a lot of time off of him. to help with this new card. They actually have to come out and prove it, look at our location, firewalls, all that stuff has to be in place. So one of the positions that we're asking for is to get him an assistant to help with the IT part of it. With us having two different offices now, so it's kind of putting that along with the new card. That's going to be a lot. The other one is we're asking for an employee to try to set our new database. Our database that we currently have now, we have two clients that are interested in. They've shown that they had interest in purchasing that database. So we're wanting to start marketing and try to sell this database so we can submit some of our budget without coming to council and asking for that. We've already been working with the AD's office to get an agreement in place with the guy that actually that we had do the programming side of that. So it's just we're trying to get this database. So we've got two, and that's two of the five tribes that are interested in getting this database. That's not counting. Hopefully, once we get out and start letting people know that it's there, that we'll have more people involved trying to purchase this time. They like the thing that we're mobile. Once we get this new tribal enhanced ID card part of that database, then I think it's going to be that. We have the Choctaws are interested that once we get our stuff done with the new tribal enhanced ID card, they want us to then turn and help them. And they're one of the ones that's interested in the database. They finally come off our open house and look over our database, and they like it. Cherokee Nation's another one.
Controller on there now. Do we have the money?
She's right. I just want one question. Is this for the whole year or 6 months?
That's for the 6 months. If you look at the 89,000 is for aggressive this year. If you look at the other one that I attached, that's actually what they're all. The schedule A is what's going to be for next year, for the 4 years.
Questions? Paper.
The grant we're getting is not going to cover any of the employees.
We only 3% of the grant is all we can. 3% of the total grant is what we can put towards employees. Mostly has to go to the equipment and all that.
And so these two employees will be required to from here on out to help out with this new implementation.
Well, it's not just that. The employees are going to do other things. Just for instance, with the marketing side of it, what we want to do, not just market a database, but market our office. We're still trying to get the citizens to be aware that we are in Jinx right now. We've got people that come down here every day that are in Jinx area. So we're hoping that person also is going to be able to help market our Jinx location also. Because we're to the process in Jinx that we can do same day enrollment right now. But as far as the IT work, that IT is going to be, it's just not for the tribal hands ID card, it's to help with the duties of the office.
Mr. Jennings?
I have a question for Ms. Guthrie. So what would the funding source be?
Ms. Hicks.
Ms. Wilson, how far along are you on this grant as far as approval?
We should be further along than we are. The grant opened up 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't open until April. We've been fighting with different departments to try to get this stuff done. We actually met, our deadline to turn in the first round of it is April 10th. And so we already have our part of the plan. This is the grant that we're applying for is not just for our office. It's actually we met with Black Horse, we met with emergency management and IT. So we're including this into it. It's a federal grant. The money that they get is not going to account for the money that we get. It's still going to be separate. and you can go up to $1 million for each one of them. So we met with them, and now we're just waiting on their information to get back to us of what they want to use that money for to go along with the grant that we're doing. And it has to tie into the Homeland Security, the 9/11 terrorist attack, pretty much saying that is what it has to tie into.
So do you have like an estimated time as far as?
Well, April 10th is the first one. April 29th is the deadline, and we'll know probably by June or July, is what she said. We all know if we were awarded that, and by the end of the year, we can start spending that money. But I think right now we're looking, it's going to be over $600,000 what we're asking for just for our office. That's not counting what once Black Horse decides what they're wanting, like they looked at a command unit. Now we're looking at towers and radios. So we're not for sure. They're supposed to get their stuff back to us by Wednesday. But the lady that is actually helping us is the first tribe that received this card, and she writes the grants for this. She wrote over $100 million grants on just this one alone. So she's telling us we've got a pretty good shot. She came in last week. We met with her. We took her around to different departments, and she's the one that's going to help Kellen. Kellen was a part of that meeting with us, and so she's going to help Kellen. They're going to work together to try to get this done for us. So we've got a good percent of getting this grant, and we can apply for it every year. We've got 3 years to spend it, but we can apply for it again next year if we know if there's other departments. They had mentioned something about the transit even could be a part of it, because if something happens, we've got to be able to get people around.
Mr. Jennings?
So is it a matching grant?
No.
Okay.
It's free money.
Questions? Not roll call vote, please.
Cody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
James Jennings?
No.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. The sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is TR-16-0027, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute an installation and implementation agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and Dell for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health. The sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Madam Chair, make a motion to do pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. Any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This agreement involves allowing Dell to assist us with configuration and installation of encryption software onto one of our servers, which will allow a high level of protection against patient information from hacking or breach to avoid privacy violations. The cost of the implementation is $2,201.33. In contrast, any violations of patient privacy generally result in fines that start at $50,000 and go up from there.
Okay. Are there any questions? Yes, sir, go ahead.
Dr. Mark, once this is implemented, how long will the software last?
It'll last as long as we want it, so we'll have it for as long as we want.
Okay. Mr. Baker?
Dr. Bart? Yes. Are the employees put on this same type of protection from their personal information being put out there?
Mr. Coffey, is this primarily for patient information? I'll let Mr. Coffey, our Chief Information Officer, respond.
Madam Chair, right. Council members. What this is for, basically, is for our endpoints. So whether we have tablets, laptops, anything that our staff utilizes, we want to make sure that that's encrypted, because there are times when sometimes they may work inside our EHRs and pull out information like a report and put it on the laptop. If for some reason that laptop is lost or gets stolen, this is the reason why we want to have it encrypted. Now, for employees and their personal use, I mean, we don't encrypt any of their endpoints. So that's their. This is all for Department of Health. So we don't manage any other endpoints other than that.
So in case somebody loses a laptop or an iPad, then Joe Blow off the street finds it, they can't hack into it, right?
Can't get it. Okay. It's rendered useless.
Are there more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Make sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. This TR16-033, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a memorandum of agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and Okrotski County Health Department for the purpose of storing vaccines. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Madam Chairman, motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. Discussion?
Yes, ma'am. This agreement is basically to assist the Okrotski County Health Department, in case of power outage, some type of disaster, where they would lose power and their vaccines would be at risk of being lost or perished. We would like to have an arrangement where they can bring them over to the hospital where we can store them and provide adequate refrigeration protection, etc., so that they wouldn't experience vaccine loss. Okay.
Questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR16-034, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the execution of an agreement with the U.S. Department of Commerce National Technical Information Service for the Nation's Citizenship Department. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Make a motion, due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Deer. Discussion?
In 2013, we received a new database. The guy that actually did the programming inputted a new piece to that, which is it connects directly with, or you can import the Social Security Death Index. So back in 2013, once he done that, we removed 2,500 people off our roll that has been deceased that we are still counting as active. That was good up to 2012. So what we want to do with this agreement is get another copy of that. That's a current copy, and this is just an agreement with us and the Commerce Department to get that. It's $1,800 for the year. We can update it as much as we want to. They update it weekly, but this is where we get most of our information from. We do work with the Social Security the Social Service Office for burial assistance and get it through that way. And a lot of our people, they live out of state and stuff like that. So this is a way to update our record to make sure that we have a good and accurate count when it comes to the deceased.
Any questions?
Oh, and also, the main reason we like this is last year we had an individual come in to try to get a card replaced. He just got out of prison. He was using his brother's information. Without this, we would have known that he was deceased. His brother was actually deceased and never received that card with a photo on it. Reintegration brought him over to us, and he was able to determine that he was using his brother's card that's been deceased since like 2006. So basically what it does, it ties into our database and alerts us if we have somebody that's enrolled based off that Social Security number and the name and date of birth, it'll tell us that there's possibly a match and we can go and look and search to make sure that there is a death date there. So this has helped us with a lot of the fraudulent cases that we've had so far to update our numbers.
Do you work with the election board? Pretty much.
We do send a list to the election board every time we meet of our people that we relinquish, remove, and stuff like that. So we do communicate with them. We send a list back to them.
Any questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you have 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 16-037, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to submit a grant application to the Administration for Children and Families Administration for Native Americans Sustainable Employment and Economic Development Strategies for funds to assist Morris Indian community with economic development. Our sponsor is Mr. Beaver.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to turn the time over to the Morris community.
Hello, I'm Gina Nido. I'm the chairman of the Morris Indian Community. And on the budgeting that we just gave you that you're looking at, we do have a modification on that. We were looking at $300,000 for the first year, and the 20% matching would come up to $60,000.
$300,000 is our total. Or it's 250, I think, and it's at 20% match. Another 50. So your portion, if you agree to sponsor this grant, is $50,000. Which, of course, you know, with the new legislation coming through, that could be a new point anyway, because we may have those kind of funds to support ourselves. And then we got clarification from ANA. They did say we could use some of our land as in-kind contributions and whatever else we're using to write this grant. So that's this year we can use in-kind toward. Instead of just being straight monetary, then, you know, we can use in-kind support as well. So we got to find out how much our land is worth. That's 30 acres.
Are there any questions? Mr. Jennings?
So if that's going to change, or do you have a copy of the new amended budget with what were the changes that you were just discussing?
There it is. That's the one that she passed out with those. Did you get a budget page? Did you give them all those copies? Got draft background. We did some. Yeah, that's it.
It's real tiny.
Oh.
Yeah. It's real tiny. I hope y'all can read it.
Oh,
that's our working budget that we're working on through the components.
Oh, it's the
farming.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
That's the only way we can get it all to fit so y'all can see it. We have a large one if I want to look at it.
I can't even see it.
I have one copy of it.
Maybe if we should hold it and read it. Yeah.
If y'all have questions, I mean, there's the larger budget, and we're looking at year one, and we're still working on this budget as well, because after getting clarification from ANA, they said that we might want to bump up our year one budget, because they expect that to be rather large, and then over a five-year budget, it should start to decline, as we start to produce revenue and implement some of these projects, plus we can use that in kind, and we can use our land as in kind every year. So that will reduce even the amount we're even requesting from y'all. We just put 50,000 in because our, you know, we're going to go for 250,000 year one, and then we'll start scaling it back as the years go on, especially in years 4 and 5. And this is very preliminary and it's very working, but those are the numbers we're going to work in through the first year, so 300,000.
Oh, sorry.
I just want to make sure. Can I ask another question?
Yes,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so the resolution that you guys submitted asks for $30,000.
Right. And we want to modify that and bump it up to $250,000, and our $50,000 would be the match.
Okay, so then we would actually need a new resolution.
A modified one from us.
Right. Just because, I mean, so your community, I mean, that tells us that your community is informed of what you're asking for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We had that at our meeting on Thursday, and we explained the project and how we needed to modify our budget after speaking with ANA and, you know, clarifying their ceiling and their floor for each project period. And this is a 5-year project.
Right.
That built successively, and they were like, yes, we would expect that year one budget to be higher rather than lower because we'll have to buy equipment and put some of these other things in place.
Okay, so what is your deadline for this?
April the 6th.
So when is your next community meeting?
We already had it last week.
Right.
So, yeah, so we just need to get y'all updated resolution.
Yes.
Okay, we can do that.
So if, I mean, tentatively, if we pass this and before we're in front of the whole council, you could get us an updated resolution to include in the packet.
Yes, I could. I could get it to y'all today.
Okay, but I mean, you're, okay. By updated resolution, I
you
mean
like
you
the
meet with your whole
community.
Yes,
you did that. But if that's what I need to do, then that's what I'll need to do is just update this resolution.
So your community voted on asking the tribes $50,000?
Yes.
And that's, okay, so you've already done that. It's just this letter that we got is not reflective of that?
No, because we just got those preliminary budgets finished last night on what we wanted to request.
Okay.
But they didn't know that was the total amount we were working up towards on that year one of the project.
Mr. Jennings?
Yes. Mr. Topol? The legislation reads that the nation will be the administrator of the grant. Who would that be?
That's been our question. Just a few, you know, we're trying to establish a process for the communities because Title 11 does specifically state they may apply for grants outside of the nation. But there was no process in place. So I've been working with CR&D and I've met with Helen as well to establish this process and Secretary Tiger because when the community first addressed, I think they put the request in of the intent to CR&D. They started there and there was no process. So we've been trying to kind of figure this out as we go along and I understand the timeline. And so we've been trying to put that together, but I don't know who would administer it except for the nation would have to because the community itself cannot apply. What they're asking you as council is, will the nation apply for this grant and then trickle it down to the community? We just need some things to consider in this is who will be reporting from the community? Will it be the treasurer? How are we going to make sure? Because if they're not doing the reporting, it's not going to reflect on Morris community. It's going to reflect on the Muscogee Creek Nation. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but that's the things we need to think about. The boards do change every 1 or 2 years, depending on their constitution when they have elections. This is land owned by the nation, not the community. So it does state in this that they do have, the community has 30 acres. It's the nation that owns the 30 acres. And if the nation is going to do that 30 acres or solely for them, then the community, then the nation needs to be aware of that too. If they ever want to use that back half of the property, they've already given that access to the community at this point. And in moving forward, we would just ask that the community does continue to work with environmental, because I know they have a lot of, they're wanting to produce and do maybe farmers market, that kind of thing, and there's some environmental concerns that they want to make sure they're in code and not in violation of anything like that. So that's just some things to consider. Like I said, we do have a process started at this point that we're setting up a meeting. We met with Kellen already with the planning. We do want to meet with the controller's office because they do need to submit a budget that should be approved. We should have a two-step approval, one by the planner department to make sure no other department with the nation is applying for the same grant, which I don't believe there is. But then we also need the controller's office to approve their budget to make sure, you know, we get that sign off and make sure, again, like someone's reporting, there's some financial responsibility. And then we would bring it to council. And so once we get that all together, we will present it to council, that process, and then we will present it to the community so we don't end up in this situation again. But it's a learning curve at this point, but we're trying to put that process into place as quickly as possible. So.
And then there's a compliance factor to
with federal grants, because a lot of your programs are based on federal grants. So I would say that most of the departments and communities around here, we know what kind of compliance, what kind of reporting you have to do. They're pretty basic, they're pretty standard across the board for most non-construction projects, which this is, a few minor renovations. You know, we know what's required. I would expect CR&D to know what's required too, if you're gonna work with communities and helping us find funding, helping us get our economic development off the ground. I've been frustrated with the process of sourcing it early, and now we're in the last month, so we have to get it done if we wanna submit it, because this is the last year for this grant. We missed it last year for the same kind of issues, and we don't wanna miss it this year. You know, we've lined up the Muskogee Loan Fund, we've lined up our ag consultant, we've got other people and processes, you know, other programs that we wanna approach so that we can multiply the effort of requests we're asking for, $50,000, which is gonna be maybe reduced by half by the time we put in our in-kind and everything else in our land and what the value of that's worth. So we've really fought hard for this. We wanna do it. We've compiled our resources. We haven't even asked the tribe for anything other than to have to go under their credentials, their DUGS numbers, their B&B numbers, and to get with Kellen to make sure it's all uploaded and everything's checking through the gov. So we have sources ourselves through the tribe to find out, is anybody doing it if they're not getting it? Now, you've already delayed us a whole month. We've almost already missed the deadline to finish. And we just can't do that. If we're really gonna develop that community, then we gotta go for what's out there and what's available, and this is the last year for it. And I think we really have a viable economic doing stuff that nobody else is gonna do in this region and provide some real goods and services, not only for our community, but it's gonna benefit, you know, other regions, other areas, and even pack some areas, probably of the United States, with what we learned and the things that we're putting in, would like to put in place anyway, and it would be like a model that could be replicated eventually across other regions. And they currently don't have anything like that in this region. But that's why we want to do it.
Also, I have contacted James Williams to do some GI mapping of the land out there, so he is aware of that, and he is going to be doing that more soil testing.
And we've got some of it already from the original when y'all first purchased it. We got some of where the lines are. We know where some of the issues that we're going to have to address as a community.
Mr. Jennings.
I appreciate you ladies in the community seeking out to get this grant. My one question is, you know, who's going to be in charge of it?
We'll have to hire those people. That's what we're working out now, are the job descriptions and the people that we're going to have. I would like to turn that over to our ag consultant here. She does work. She's going to explain how the whole things fit. I'm just trying to pull it all together and explain it to you, you know, how we're going to generate revenues and what we're going to try to implement on that property.
This is Ms. Colleen Thornton.
Hello, I'm Colleen Thornton. I am contracted with them to help develop that project. We are looking at a multi-layered project to develop the pollinator process. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Monarch project that Jim Hardenrich has, as well as we are leveraging some other grants that we're and projects that we're working on. The tribe was awarded an RBDG grant for the Hanna Farm last year that was put off because of some, the changes within the last fall. So we are to start that in October. And we believe that that Morris can develop a ag cooperative as being the retail arm for a lot of the production that individual citizens are already doing, and drive a larger, more volume-based sales that will bring money back to this region. As you know, it's very difficult to get a lot of money momentum. There's not a lot of money here to drive the additional jobs, and that's why we don't have them here now. So what do we have to do to get those jobs? And that's what we're doing, is we're gonna be working with Jane Breckenridge to develop the pollinator process within the RBDG grant for the farm. We have a whole beekeeping process, training new beekeepers. There's gonna need, all of those people will need supplies. All of those people will have opportunity to build value-added products from honey or from the butterflies that they're producing, or artwork that would combine butterflies and Native American art, all those different things. So in the cooperative model that we are looking at for Morris, we're going to be building on their site, being right on the highway, the fact that there's no grocery store there, the fact that, the pollination plants that, people are asking for and all these butterfly conservation places, there's not enough of those, like the milkweed. There's not enough seed for bees, for the hoobamb clovers and sweet clovers, so we're not getting enough honey production. So there's a big push these days. I mean, there's just been a new White House initiative for pollinators. So we're going to take that initiative and the uniqueness in this area of having a pollinator site with the plants, the production of the pollinators themselves, and drive that production on from a potentially wholesale basis or individual retail basis, and help the individual producers, as well as potentially Hanna Farm and other communities, if should they want to do it, find a larger, more nationwide marketplace. That then, because those pollinators have to have something to eat, right? We've got a lot of native fruits that are pollinator forage. So your American plums and your blackberries and elderberries, all of those things are pollinator friendly, and the fact that they help feed the pollinators and maintain them over their different seasons. Those things are also food. Morris doesn't have a grocery store. And it's very, very difficult, and it takes a lot of time to go to either Okmulgee or Muskogee or Chakota to get some food. Well, when we have elders that are having a hard time with transportation or getting into and out of their cars, things like that, having something there where they can use their SNAP, they can use their senior nutrition, they can use their WIC, and it's fresh, it's healthy, and because they're part of a cooperative, they're getting a dividend back when we produce revenue and produce a profit, you're driving twice over. You're driving that money back into the community and driving jobs back into the community. So that's the high-level approach. That being said, not all of that comes together in one thing. So what we're going to do is we're taking that high-level approach and breaking it down into smaller portions. So a farm stand is a small portion that can be bitten off pretty quickly, pretty easily, and it drives immediate revenue back to support jobs. The next piece would be potentially that's a great opportunity for events. So if you have a pollinator process there, that you've already got these butterflies and you've got education for the kids and things like that, there's an easy event built around that, another revenue point. So you just build up on these things, none of which have to have each other, but are definitely leveraged well and driving additional revenue so that we can put those jobs in place and keep them there once the grant is over with, because that's the real intent. Too many times we've seen where it's one big project in a grant, and because there wasn't enough flexibility, that if something didn't go just exactly the way you wanted it to, that things start crumbling. Well, what we can do with the flexibility of having multiple small projects building upon themselves and building upon other communities and other individual producers outside the Morris community itself is that some of those safeguards are put in place. And then Morris takes that income and retails it. So they're the retail arm because they've got that nice property. They've had the opportunity to get online. We've got opportunity to coordinate with Monarch people. We've got opportunity to coordinate with beekeepers all over the country and drive a more national scale so that we're bringing in revenue from high-end places like on both the coasts back into Oklahoma. Is there any questions?
I'll answer your question, Mr. Jennings.
Probably way too much. His eyes are rolling back and said.
Any more questions? Thank you. Yes.
And just one more thing to consider. She said that the land could be considered as a donation, in kind donation. We would need an appraisal to offset that cost. So if appraisals were $20,000, then we would only need $40,000 from the council rather than the $50,000. If it appraised for $20,000, then you would only need to get $30,000. So you might need that appraisal done.
Then all our in kinds that we're all contributing from our board and everybody else that helped us do everything we're going to have to do, we've got to help too. So we're ready to rock and roll when y'all say yes, go ahead. because it doesn't cost you anything if we don't get it, and it's a highly competitive grant with only 8 awards left.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Burnett?
Just clarifying, so it sounds like we need to amend the legislation to reflect that their first year budget is $250,000, and the amount that they're asking for, that you're asking for, is $50,000.
$50,000, and
okay,
that's
not
total, that's $300,000, yes.
Okay, so I make a motion to, on line 25, amend the amount to $250,000, and where the bill says $30,000, have that changed to $50,000 throughout the legislation.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Burnett to amend the amount from $150,000 to $250,000, and the tribal match in the amount of from $30,000 to $50,000. Second by Mr. Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Dorothy Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Trey Yelp, 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. The amendment passes. Any more questions? Back to the main motion. Roll call vote, please.
Dorothy Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 16-038, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute an educational agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health and Oklahoma State University for the purpose of receiving hazmat training. Sponsored, Ms. Barnett.
Make a motion, do pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. Discussion.
This is a request by Health to receive instruction from OSUIT on hazardous waste operations and emergency response training. Has to do with control. It's a set of guidelines that are produced by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration for the control of hazardous waste from receipt to ultimate disposal. That could include biomedical waste. It can include chemical waste. The cost of the course is $3,750 for 15 participants. We were planning to train groups from both the medical center and the Creek Nation Community Hospital. It would allow for training in the event of a local spill at the facility, as well as any community-wide disaster that might occur or a spill.
Thank you. Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote, please.
Dorothy Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you have 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 16-030, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds awarded from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for the Tribal HUD Veteran Affairs Supportive Housing Demonstration Program. Sponsored, Ms. Barnett.
Motion, do pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. Discussion.
Mr. Beaver, are you here, please?
Yes, all this allows us to do, since we've already been awarded the funding, we were awarded about $216,000. This just allows us, once the, I guess, once we start issuing the vouchers, it just allows us to get issued them from the Department of Finance. And we were awarded $20.
Are there any questions? next year.
Do you already have the process in place? How these are going to be awarded?
Yes, ma'am. We just now submitted, we submitted Friday what we call the implementation plan. And what it is we just went through and they gave us just a short five, just really not even five steps, just five questions that they had that we answered. And we just said how it'd be staffed and administered, in which the administrative manager, which is myself at the time, I'll be handling like the planning and organization and the implementation of the plan. And I'll be coordinating with the Veterans Affairs and with the VA to work with the, you know, on a caseworker. What it is a caseworker will be administered, and that is the key proponent to this plan, is that since we have 20, that whoever we decide, that whoever I guess applies through housing will also go through the Veteran Affairs. And what it is we'll make sure that they're within, I guess, since it is through HUD, that they do, it is based on a need. But if they're homeless, we don't see any problem with that. But there is some background checks that need to be done, and we will be doing that process. Then we'll be sending them over to Veteran Affairs also, in case that they aren't, if they aren't, I guess, approved to this program. And because it is based on a caseworker, I mean, they're going to have a need why they are homeless. I mean, and then there'll be certain guidelines and criteria that have to be met. But we want to, we are working with them just to make sure that they're receiving all their benefits that is due to them for their service. And we'll also be working, like I said, with the Veterans Affairs to, I guess, what they do is they will be supplying the caseworker. And we decided that is the fastest and the most to expedite it this way. And once we get this done, and since we just submitted it, they'll approve it, and the caseworker, they will be the ones, submitting for the job description. And it'll be through USA Jobs. And what we don't actually get, like I said, a preference, whether it be Creek, but what we can do is, we can actually, if we have people, candidates that we are feel qualified, we can actually tell them to submit for this position. And actually what we will be is either myself or who we designate and someone from Veteran Affairs will be sitting on the committee, the interview committee. So they do let us have a choice in that on who to decide that we want to represent us as our caseworker. And each of the tribes awarded has their own caseworker. So the caseworker will just be designated for Muscogee Nation veterans. So, and actually, since all three of them too, they will be supplying the equipment, the information, and actually the place where they'll be based out of. So, and actually, they're working on that now. And we do have, we already have, like I said, our accountant in place, Deborah Hefner, in place that will be monitoring the program. And we've already submitted everything, so we're already in that process. We're just waiting on them to get ready. And since it's a new program, they're working with us as it is now, and we're just with every other tribe, so we're not behind or ahead. Or we actually are ahead since we've already have it done.
Thank you. Are there more questions? Thanks. Roll call vote, please.
Joey Barnett?
Yes.
Joy Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Until you have 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 16-031, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to sponsor the Public Health Service Commission Officers Foundation for the U.S. Public Health Service Scientific and Training Symposium, Gimme 5, Building a Better Tomorrow Through Prevention Today. Our sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Jennings. In discussion?
was a request that was put forth by the executive branch to sponsor. It is an educational symposium, scientific symposium put on by the Public Health Service to cover a variety of public health topics, to also allow networking between various medical entities to participate in this educational symposium. And I believe that as a result of the contribution, there is some advertising and brochures and a banner also with advertising that is part of the $5,000 contribution.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Mr. Jennings?
Dr. Mark.
Yes, sir.
So is this with the commissioned officers only?
No, sir. No, sir. It is put on by the commission corps, but I believe it's for any medical people that want to attend. That was my understanding.
Any questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dear?
No.
James Jennings?
No.
Rufus Scott?
No.
Madam Chair, you got one in favor and three against.
One in favor, three against. That motion fails. Next is NCA 16-037, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Muscogee High School Native American Students Advocacy. Sponsor is Ms. Deer. The wish of this committee.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Deer for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Committee, my name is Jared Ader, and we're here on behalf of our NASA students, our Native American students at Muscogee High School. Each year, last year we started with a powwow, and this year those students want to continue offering that to our senior students, and as a benefit to them, host a senior powwow. And our NASA students have fundraised over $1,000, and we need some help getting them to the complete cost of it. It's a little over $5,000 for a total cost. And we have a basketball tournament that's lined up on the 29th of March to help offset those costs also. So we're requesting you just to help funding and support of that project that the NASA students are doing.
Any questions? Mr. Jennings?
Mr. Strader, you know what I'm going to ask you. How much is Cherokee Nation giving you?
They gave us $500.
Thank you.
Mr. Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is this a competition power?
Yes.
It is a competition?
Yes.
How many categories do you have?
Four men contest and four women contest. First, second, and third being one.
What's first place prize?
First place prize is 150. Second place is 100, and third is 75.
Thanks, sir.
Are there any more questions? Here.
Will there be any other requests coming from Muscogee Public Schools for?
No, ma'am.
No more questions. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got four in favor and zero against.
Four in favor, zero against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Thank you. Next, NCA 16-041, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation of funds to repay the Muscogee Creek Nation's Family Violence Stop Violence Against Women Project. Sponsor, Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Deer. Discussion. It was a tie.
Are you kidding me? Or is that being
Creek Nation has a Stop Violence Against Indian Women program, and this one was back in, it was started in 2008 and ended October 31st, 2011. We closed out the grant, which is a 90-day closeout, so it was closed out in January 3rd, 2012. And we had a balance, cash balance of $3,030.45 that should have been returned back to the funding agency. Somehow, instead, it reclassed from the next year's funding to this one to close it out for fiscal year 2012, which left us with zero cash. In 2015, the funding agency asked for their cash back after they looked through all the reports and everything. So instead of checking, we just sent the cash back, which left a negative cash balance on the balance sheet that shows for this program. Which should have happened, we should have came in and asked the council for the money at that time because we didn't have the money. So that's why I'm asking for the funding now to cover what we already expensed.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joy Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Cherry got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Take that one here from the source.
Oh.
Funding source?
Yep. We sent to BFNJ for funding source. No other business? Announcements?
Joint meeting tomorrow at 6.
Yes, it was. The committee will meet with LNC tomorrow at 6. Any more announcements? Speaker? Motion for adjournment.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Barnett, second by Mr. Jennings. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. And ask Ms. Barnett if she will give that benediction.
Father, thank you today for everyone that is here, for their hearts, for the work that they do to glorify your name. And just be with us as we leave this place so we can speak life into others. And